Thank you, John. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. It's a busy day today. We've had breakfast church, which was great as usual, and we were really pleased to welcome Reverend Allen. He came along and had a sausage sandwich, so that was really good. Pleased he was with us. Two announcements. On Wednesday, the 8th, it will be the church council meeting at 7:30. And I think everybody is very, very welcome to attend. Next Sunday, there is no service at our church at Pointer Methodist. It will be the circuit service at Macclesfield at 10:30. And again, everyone is very, very welcome. And just a reminder that there will be a midweek service on the 24th of October, at 12 noon, followed by lunch. So quite a lot going on, I think, isn't there? We welcome Phil to lead our service, and we're really glad all the children are with us, and they're going to play an important part in this service. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm very happy today, very, very happy. You've seen the magnificent display that you've contributed to, absolutely brilliant. I'm also happy because Grimsby beat Salford yesterday. So have a moment's silence as we prepare for worship. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. He makes plants grow for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Obviously, today is our harvest festival, and one thing we all have in common is that we eat food. I have a problem with food. I can't stop eating food. If I'm nervous, if I'm anxious, I eat. If I'm hungry, I eat. And you've heard the old joke about seafood diets. If I see food, I eat it. So our harvest service today is that opportunity to offer to God our thanks and our praise for the food that we have. It gives us that chance to say thank you to those people that provide the food chain. It gives us a chance to say thank you to you for bringing the stuff here. And it gives us a chance, does it not, to thank God that we're fortunate and we have an opportunity to provide some food for the not so fortunate. We start our service with the hymn, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land."
Scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed up.
Can I ask the children to come forward, please, and just help me out for a moment? I've got a few things that I need to do. Are you happy standing, or do you want to sit down, or you're happy standing? Where's the guitarist gone? We might have some more music in a minute. She'll have to play again. Right. Have you seen everything there?
Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. Have you seen the decoration around the church?
Yeah.
It's lovely, isn't it? Do you celebrate harvest at school?
Yeah.
Some do, some don't.
We always go to St. George's Church.
Say again for me.
We always go to St. George's Church.
Oh, you go to St. George's Church. But you're here today, and that's brilliant. Not that we're in competition with St. George's. Right, now, did you know that big holiday that you get in the summer from school is down to the farmers? Because years ago, they wanted the whole family to stay off school to help with the harvest, to bring everything in and to get it stored ready for the winter. And then we get to this time of the year where we get together and we celebrate God's harvest. But I have a problem. I didn't know what to bring. Sorry.
It kind of reminds me of summer harvest on Grow Garden at OK Roblox.
All right. Okay. So my problem is this. I didn't know what to bring.
You can bring anything.
I can bring anything. Right, well, I did get some stuff together in the end, but I had to get a song to get a shopping list. Now, I need you to help me bring those things forward, but we've got a job to do before the song. We need to ask if any of the adults have still got things to bring forward. There are a couple. Could you go and seek them out and bring them forward? Over there, look, there's a shopping bag over there. If you can't find a space, Hillary's there to help, look. Brilliant. You can take the service if you want. My goodness, do you need to be strong to carry those? Good job you prayed about chaos. Right, it's a fast flowing. Thank you for that. You can guess why that is, can't you? It's a good job I wasn't wearing a skirt. Not only have I been helped with stuff coming forward, but I've been dressed by the Garrett family. Right, can you come back to me? Because I've got another job, a very important job.
What?
Quick, well, if you come here, I'll tell you. So, I went shopping last minute because I had this song that gave me a shopping list. We're going to play the song, and the things I went and bought are at the back there. Oh, sorry, they're over there with Zoe. Okay, they're over there with Zoe. So when the song starts, you need to go to Zoe and she will give you things to bring out to Hillary, which tie in with my shopping list and the song. Okay, Mandy. Oh, go to Zoe quickly.
Oh.
Wow, tin sardines. I'm going to come down there to you now. I'm told at this stage that because you've been here for hours and hours, you might want to go home. You don't have to. You're welcome to stay. But if you are going, I need a high five. So, if you...
Where is he?
Oh, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. We haven't prayed, have we? Let's just say very quickly, Lord Jesus... We are so thankful that we have the young people here today. It's been absolutely brilliant. I'm hoping that you'll keep coming to church. Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, we've still got high fives going on.
Yes.
Right. Thank you very much again. And what a wonderful display. I'm sure you could have done with another 5 minutes of that song, couldn't you? It's one of those songs that's wonderful for children, but it's that case of, do you remember that song years ago? I've got a song that'll get on your nerves, get on your nerves. But it was joyous, it was lovely. So in a moment we're going to continue in prayer. There will be a slide that comes up and it has some very gentle music in the background. If you wish to look at the compilation slide, you may do so. I'm going to give a prayer of thanks and then a prayer of confession. So let us pray. Lord, we praise you for the harvest of the fields of wheat and barley, for oilseed, rape and maize. We give thanks. We praise you for the harvest of local hedgerows, for the struggling bramble, for black showers of elderberry, for mushrooms nestling in the dewy grass. We give thanks. We praise you for the harvest of gardens and allotments, for earthy roots and crackling cabbage, for hanging beans and striped courgettes. We give thanks. Lord, we praise you for the harvest of talents in our church, for buildings well maintained, for readers, for Bible groups, for prayer groups, for flower arrangements, for those operating the technology and the music, for responsible stewardship, and for charities supported. We give you thanks. We praise you for the harvest of fellowship in our church, for friends made and support given, for people with whom to laugh and with whom to weep. We give you thanks. Lord, we praise you for the harvest of prayer, for commitment deepened, for discipleship taken up, for the cross carried and the burdens borne. We give you thanks. Lord, we thank you for the generosity of the congregation, and we dedicate this festival harvest thanksgiving to you. Bless us, strengthen us, unite us in your love. And a prayer of confession. Lord, as we celebrate your goodness, so we confront our own sin, our greed, and our insensitivity, our failure to appreciate what we have and the opportunities you have given, our readiness to complain, our unwillingness to praise. Father, forgive us and renew us. Lord, sometimes we have a self-centered blindness to other people's needs. Sometimes we are deaf to the cries of the hungry. Sometimes we miss the opportunity to show love to those who are deprived of affection. Father, forgive us and renew us. Sometimes, Lord, we are completely unaware of the difficulties faced by those who work the land, a landscape threatened, an economy at risk, a countryside disheartened, its communities uncertain and confused, its isolation and exclusion ignored. Lord, forgive us and renew us. May our sins be forgiven, our blindness, deafness and coldness of heart be healed. May your renewing spirit rest on us and fill your nation with love and hope. We ask all these things in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. And we sing again, 124 from Singing the Faith, for the fruits of all creation, thanks be to God.
Thank you.
We have a very special reader today, and I'm absolutely delighted that he's agreed to come and read to us. So Walter is going to come and read from over there. Thank you, Walter.
Luke 12, verse 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you." Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.'"
Thank you very much. Well done. From the age of 6 to 16, I lived in the seaside town of Mablethorpe in Lincolnshire. During the winter months of the 1950s, the population was about 3,500. But obviously, with it being a seaside town, during the summer, it expanded tremendously. And we, right from the age of about 10, had all manner of different jobs to earn pocket money, even to put money towards our school uniform and our satchels and our equipment. So I might, on a Saturday morning, be found at the local railway station with my trolley, carrying people's luggage to the holiday homes, to the holiday camps. Or I might be working in a department store, selling models to visiting children, all manner of things we did. In the town centre, we had two butchers, four greengrocers, four churches, two of which were Methodist. Well, the Wesleys were from Lincolnshire. We had four pubs. Interesting that the churches matched the pubs, but only one grocer's, based in a relatively small building. It was the Co-op. You were able to go in and buy things over the counter, but normally orders were placed in your order book and then you either collected or had them delivered. The order book not only kept a record of your spending, but also kept an account of your divvy, the dividends awarded from the co-op's profits. But in those days, choices were limited, and apart from a special treat of pink wafer biscuits, we purchased basic food items. On a Friday evening, after the co-op delivery, my mother would put up five picnics in paper bags, one for her four sons and one for my father, who demanded not to be left out. They contained pieces of fruit and some of those pink wafer biscuits. Can't quite remember when we started getting bananas, because until 1954 food was rationed. And you may remember that Hunter Davis once wrote a book called "The Co-op's Got Bananas" when they came back. Things have changed, haven't they? Today we're surrounded by supermarkets, which have been described as modern-day cathedrals. They're vast in size, and some are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They offer services covering virtually every aspect of life. And you'll probably find more people in supermarkets shopping on a Sunday than you'll find in our churches, sadly. Nick Fawcett, a one-time Baptist minister but now a Christian author, suggests that while supermarkets constantly meet shoppers' needs, they very subtly encourage greed. They encourage greed. The special offer syndrome, that strategic placement of goods all around the store. How many of us have gone in shopping during the week, gone to the shelf where we know our item was, only to find it's been moved elsewhere, and you have to traipse around the store to find it? And they hope, don't they, that on the way you will see all sorts of items that are not on your list, but they want to sell. I notice the government is putting a ban on the enticing buy one, get one free, or bog off as we know it. But it seems that they're putting that ban on what they call unhealthy foods. But then you can get into another debate, can't you, as to who can afford what? Who can afford what? I must confess that in the past I've been prone to adding items that were never on our shopping list. So whereas some of you might have a list and you know exactly where you're going and you're flitting backwards and forwards, my technique was just to do the aisles. And we would go home with a lot more than we'd set out for. I've got a feeling that at one time Bernie put a ban on me going shopping. Well, that kind of spending might stimulate the local and the national economy, but it does lend itself to the massive problem of a waste, the waste that characterises our throwaway society, in which so much is bought today and so much is binned tomorrow. Satisfying our appetites and acquiring possessions undoubtedly have their place. But when they become our overriding concern, it's time to ask, what price are we really paying? What price are we really paying? And I feel that that's exactly what Jesus was getting at when he told today's parable. Obviously not a reflection on the supermarkets, but he was tackling that problem of a correct attitude to the accumulation of wealth. We know at the beginning of the story that he was asked to solve a will inheritance, the problem that was going on in the family. Of course, rabbis were often asked to do that, but Jesus quite obviously dismissed it and went on to this correct attitude to the accumulation of wealth. Life is more than material goods. Far, far more important is our relationship with our Lord Jesus, our relationship with God, our relationship with the people around us. Jesus says that the good life has nothing to do with being wealthy, so be on your guard against greed. Greed being defined as the desire for anything that you don't have but might want. This, of course, is the opposite, isn't it, of what we see on the media platforms, of what we see in advertising, of what we see as the life described by the so-called influencers of the day. We know that advertisers spend millions of pounds enticing us to think that we have more and more, that we need more and more of their products, that we'll only be happier, that we'll only be more fulfilled, only be more comfortable if we buy their goods. An excessive amount of money, an abundance of possessions, does not necessarily make you happy. But it's too simplistic, isn't it, to suggest that money doesn't matter. As those who struggle with debt, those who find it difficult to make ends meet, will testify, money does matter. Whilst this parable tends to speak to people who have far more than they need, it does challenge every Christian. It challenges us to consider the wealth we have. Do we have more than we need? Do we cling to our possessions for comfort and security? I have to confess that over the years, I have spent hundreds, if not thousands of pounds on books. Bernie tries to encourage me to give those books away. I'm not good at giving books away, but do I really need them? Could a charity make money from them? Could other people benefit from them? We could quite easily at this point get into a debate whether it's prudent to put money aside, whether it's prudent to put money aside for retirement, for unforeseen circumstances, for our loved ones in the event of an untimely accident or death. Where is the cut-off point? Where do we decide that we have enough and we don't need more? This last week, our youngest daughter, who lives in London, rang us up for a conversation. And during the conversation, she happened to mention that she lives for the moment. Spend what you have while you can. In the event of an unforeseen circumstance, sell the house and start again. But that doesn't take into consideration our relationship with our Lord Jesus, our relationship with God. She is very, very generous, would give anything to anybody, but certainly lives for the moment. Let me just take another look at the rich man's life. He was rich to human eyes, but poor in the eyes of God. He'd cared about possessions, but hadn't cared about God or other people. He was very rich in a materialistic way, but poor in the important relationships. He was someone who was very much full of himself, concerned only with himself. For me, I think at the end of the day that this parable is all about sharing. David Adam, a former Anglican priest who used to live on Lindisfarne, said this: God does not measure by what we have as much as what we share. Riches are measured by what we can give away. The rest are possessions, and many people are possessed by their possessions. He says that riches are to be shared with the community, and in this way the poor and the marginalised are cared for. He reminded us of John Wesley's giving. And you've probably heard this before, how John Wesley, his rule of life was to save all he could and to give all he could. When he lived in Oxford, he had an income of £30 a year. He lived on 28 and gave 2 away. When his income increased to 60, then 90, and then to £120, he still lived on 28 and gave the balance away. A former boss of mine, whenever he spent money on what was deemed to be a luxury, so for example, a holiday, he would calculate what he would spend, what he'd spent, and then give 10% to a charity. 10% to a charity. I don't know about you, but my personal feeling is that we should give what we can from the surplus we have. Give what we can from the surplus we have. I do think, however, in this age of increasing costs, in the cost of living, I do think there is a need for some caution, for some caution. Whatever you can share with the various charities, and I think food banks in particular, I feel it should be given discreetly. The amount you give is between you and the recipient charity. But one thing that we do have, one thing that each and every one of us here today can share, is the abundance of love that Christ has for each and every one of us. The love that Christ has for each and every one of us. That is something we can share with absolutely everyone we meet. Everyone we meet. Whatever wealth we have, whatever we decide to do with it, Jesus challenges us to think beyond earthbound goals and to use what we have been given for God's kingdom. Faith, service, and obedience are the way to become rich towards God. Amen. This is where I need a moment as I've mixed up all my papers. Right, we sing again, and we're singing the hymn 693, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair. Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. come to our prayers of intercession, and during those prayers there will be moments of silence when we can bring our own thoughts to God. And there is a response. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, could you please respond with, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you have created us out of your love and for your love. You have revealed your love in Jesus Christ and by sending your Spirit. Lord, as you love us, we give our love to you. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God, our Father, as we ask your blessing upon us here in Poynton and at the church in Langley, may all of us reveal your love to the world around us. May people look upon us and know that we are Christians by our love for you and our love for all people. We ask you, Lord, to guide the clergy throughout the world. And we pray in particular for the newly appointed Archbishop of Canterbury, Dame Sarah Mullally. We ask, Lord, that when she comes to office, you walk with her. We ask that you give wisdom to all who seek to bring others to a deeper faith in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those that are involved in the growing of our food. Quite often they're at work all the year round and often struggling against the climate and the increasing costs. Many are struggling to survive, often frantically seeking diverse ways of bringing money into farming. Lord, may they know your presence and be conscious of the help that you bring. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all who give their lives in service to others. We remember all leaders of people, members of governments, and all rulers. We pray that they may keep the interest and the love of others in their hearts. We pray for those who struggle to cope with natural disasters and where food is often in short supply. We pray for those living in war-torn countries. We bring before you the people of Gaza, the Ukraine, the Sudan, Syria, and Myanmar. And Lord, as we pray for the Jewish community in Crumpsall, we ask your blessing upon all who seek to bring peace and healing to this troubled world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you, Lord, for all who have loved us and given us confidence. We ask your blessing upon our homes and our loved ones. We pray for the community in which we live and ask that you encourage us to support local charities whenever we can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the life you have given us, for our faith, for the people with whom we share in Christian fellowship. We remember before you all who are living alone with no one to help. In a moment of silence, we bring before you those we know who are suffering with ill health. We ask your blessing upon all who work in healing and caring for the ill, for the aged, for the lonely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We remember our loved ones who are departed from us and ask that they may enjoy the fullness of life eternal. We commend the world and ourselves to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is Singing the Faith, number 94. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Number 94. I just give a very huge thank you to everybody that's contributed to the service today and to the giving. And just to say to you that the stewards will, during the course of the week, make sure that your gifts are given through the food banks to people less fortunate than ourselves. Let us pray. In our waking and sleeping, Father, protect us. In our working and resting, Jesus, encourage us. In our coming and going, Spirit, direct us. In our daily living and lifelong pilgrimage, may God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit guard us, guide us, and watch over us, now and for all time to come. Amen. Shall we finish by saying the grace to each other? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and for all. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.